and then I cover it with straw, and then I cover it with maple leaves and leave it for the winter. And then in the spring, I take the compost and the or the maple leaves and the straw off, and I will put a top layer of container soil, no vermiculite in that one.
Hello, hello. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. Katie, your host on Gnome City, playing you this lovely garden interview I recorded with my neighbors last week about how to start your garden. And yeah, we gotta just keep going, but I'm gonna play you a new PSA called Save What's Left. And yeah, I thought later on in the interview, I felt very inspired by how they talk about how gardening is a way that you can engage with the climate, and it's like an act of hope. I thought that was quite beautiful. So here's a PSA, and then we'll be getting right back into the interview.
What is the forest industry most afraid of? Shifting the conversation from saving old growth to protecting what's left of BC's primary forests, areas with minimal human disturbance and far greater ecological value than tree farms. Save What's Left Conservation Society is a volunteer-run group at the forefront of the movement to save the last remnants of unprotected primary forest through seeking reforms to the government agency, BC Timber Sales. Learn more at savewhatsleft.ca. Find us on social media and please support our vital work through our website.
That reminds me, going back to what you said, what did you say, the dollar store?
Yes.
For pots, yeah, dollar store or thrift shop of some kind, don't buy new pots.
Yeah.
There's so many
Don't say
pots.
that, because the gardening stores might get mad at us, but I
This is
agree.
community radio, so we're pro thrifting.
Yeah,
Oh,
that's right.
sorry.
Yeah.
Are you pro thrift?
We're pro
Oh, okay,
thrifting.
yeah.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
just thrift stores or
Yeah.
just ask around.
And you know,
Yeah.
all of
People always
the
have pots.
all of the
Yeah.
municipalities do a garden, or sorry, their garden club sale. Like
Yeah.
Burnaby does one,
Yes.
Coquitlam
Yeah.
does one, New West does one, and they sell big like pots. So now we're on radio. Can you see what I'm doing? But anyway, and it's about a
Get her
foot, a foot
arm
and a half
around like a
into
giant
diameter.
Giant.
Yeah,
Like a bear hug.
and they
Yeah.
sell them for like
That
$3
Yeah. Yeah.
plastic pots that were
Yeah.
like, you know, when you buy a car and they take those rims off and they call them cast-offs, and these are like cast-offs from the
Yeah.
planting world where they
Yeah.
grew a tree in it and then they sold the tree in a beautiful little container, right? And so all of those garden clubs sell those old cast-offs, and that you can get them for like $3.
Yeah.
And they
Yes.
last forever,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So it's
Yeah.
worth the
Yeah.
investment,
Yeah.
right?
Well, I think of that nice that green ceramic pot
Right.
that I bought with it was a gift, and then what, 2 years later, it completely
And it cracks
it cracked.
Yeah.
everywhere,
And
right?
these
Crack.
beautiful pots that are sitting around my home here used to be wine barrels, wine jugs from my brother-in-law's wine store that he closed.
Yes.
And so he sawed off the tops and he poked holes in them, and we use them for plants, and they're
Yeah.
food safe,
Yeah.
and they're a plant, a garden planter now,
There you go.
because so.
Perfect.
It doesn't even have to come like a garden planter. It could be, well, you have some Rubbermaid containers that
Yeah,
are
they're food
square
safe.
Rubbermaid
Yeah, they're food
containers.
safe.
That's
Yeah.
works fine. Or,
And
you know, the big water bottles that they use
yeah,
for water,
exactly.
you could
Yeah.
just cut off
Cut
the
off. It's the same
top
idea of
and
this
same idea,
here.
and that's food safe, right?
Yeah.
You could use that,
Yeah.
right?
And
So,
plants are expensive. I mean,
yeah,
every
plants are
year.
expensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're gonna probably, if you want a nice little thing of, well, not pansies. I can't stand pansies anymore.
Lavender, nice
Lavender.
lavender.
You're gonna have to buy that. But there are, if you live in an area like we do, where people have multiple perennial plants, a lot of those can be split.
Yeah.
Or so talk to, like, just talk around. And Katie, if you're looking for stuff, I mean, we've probably got things like some
Yeah.
the day lilies, the
Yeah.
They still be, yeah.
You know, there's a few other things that you can just break off a piece and plant it. So
Yeah.
you don't actually have to buy anything. You're getting
Yeah.
a cutting.
Well, I can be like a scavenger and make
Yeah,
Yeah,
for
yeah,
sure. Yeah,
exactly.
definitely. Thrift, you know, I can
Thrifting,
just
you're thrifting your plants.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely.
And as far
Yeah.
as soil goes, like, I mean, if you're a beginner and you are in a doing container gardening and you have your things sourced, you can just go to places like Rona and get like a
Yeah.
good organic soil, get a nice bag. They can be $10. They can be a
Yeah.
little bit more if you're going to get a big one, and you'll be
Yeah.
fine with that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's
Like
fine.
just start with those things. first and don't sweat adding, because they have all the nutrients in there. You can list everything and mm-hmm. you'll have your year. People will get hooked. Yeah. The next thing you know, you're buying mushroom manure and scouting poo in the neighborhood. You know.
All right.
Who's got what seeds? What do you got?
What do you got? We go up to people's houses at
Can I just go back to watering?
Yeah. Watering.
The watering can. So again, this is another thing where, you know, movies and television and magazines have done us a disservice. So they have the nice little Victorian lady, you know, Elizabeth Bennet out with her other Bennet sisters watering.
Why is that always come down to Jane Austen?
So they have the end of the spout has the little... has all the little holes that it comes out in this little
and they're
shower.
Always broken. They yes. never work. Well, we always have to take them off.
Yeah. Oh, you should take it off. So you just have just the plain spout and then just put that on the soil and water
just
that.
Water the soil.
You don't want to be sprinkling on top of your leaves. Just I took mine off as soon as I got that nice pot.
Oh my god, this is breaking news.
It looks cool, but it's not helpful.
It's
because
not
they
helpful.
Don't want the little shower thing.
No.
They also crack in the winter, and then you think it's bad, but it's best they crack because then you throw
just
it away.
No.
Save them up.
For what?
And then you can make a nice costume. You can be like a little alien.
Oh, for Halloween. We can look like Yoda.
Yeah.
Yo, what is Yoda? No.
Yoda didn't have holes in his ears.
Well, he might have. He didn't look close enough, did you?
Only real Star Wars fans know.
I was going to say, yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe it's Princess Leia.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's say we've got our plant now and it's sprouting. So now how do we know, is pruning important? When do we know to prune?
Well,
it depends on what it is.
Not for veggies.
For tomatoes, you're supposed to, they call it pruning, but you're supposed to pinch the suckers.
Yeah.
So if you're growing a traditional tomato, like a large size tomato, the stalk comes straight up and the branches come off left or right or north or south, east, west, whatever. And between the branch and the stalk, there'll be another little growth in between there, and those you're supposed to pinch off.
But you don't, do you, Chris?
I don't know. I just don't even, I just forget.
Okay.
Or they start growing something, and who wants to pinch them off because suddenly they look like they're doing something. So you just leave them
But if you do, and all my life and my parents, and it goes back to the turn of the century, if it's regular tomatoes, you pinch the suckers.
Yeah.
But if they're cherry tomatoes, you don't.
No, just grow.
You just let them go because the fruit's so small. But if you're growing a fruit that's large... Yeah. The power needs to go to the fruit, not to the suckers.
Other than that, I mean, for flowers, really, I mean, you're deadheading.
Yeah, deadheading is very important.
And then the actual pruning of shrubs, I mean, that's very specific.
Right. And deadheading is when you're, just picking off the dead flowers.
So last year, and Chris and I had quite a discussion about... pinching the peppers because I learned about
the raging debate that was going on.
Pinching the first set of flowers that come off your peppers, pinch them off. And I did it and she didn't, and she had a bumper crop 10 times better than mine.
Huge.
But this year, so I learned
the Gaia.
It's that Gaia soil.
No, I learned more about it, and it's about the growing season. And so I didn't know this last year when I went ahead and pinched all my flowers off. And they say pinching on a short growing season, I think they would consider us in Port Moody here a short growing season, that we need to get the fruit going early so that we can have as much as possible. Whereas if you're down in... Florida or Louisiana or whatever, you have a much longer growing season. And so you can pinch those flowers off. And if you do, it builds a much stronger root system. And then you get better fruit as long as you're harvesting all the way into October, which we're not here. So, it really is, pruning is not a... It's about the climate and it's about the species, and you have to learn about that.
Yeah, and so. I would say for a new gardener, don't think about pruning.
No.
Just think of, you know, deadheading your flowers or, you know, pinching your tomatoes perhaps, because cherry tomatoes are actually a really good
first crop.
You'll always get cherry tomatoes.
And they're so delicious.
Even if it's a bad growing season, you'll always get cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, so speaking of that, I was wondering, what can people grow if they don't have much natural sunlight where they live?
Flowers.
Lettuce. You can do probably peas.
You can't do too many foods. You need about 6 hours of sun.
Our garden plots are nicknamed the back 40, but in the back 40, I have one that's a shade and one that is a sun plot.
Mm-hmm. So and then the kale, plot, you put I can the
do
kale.
Kale yeah. And yeah. I can do also do, and I can do peas. And this year I did snow peas, and last year I did sweet peas.
Mm-hmm.
Snap peas. And they're brilliant. I just do them from a seedling and pop it in the ground. Great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's rewarding to see them as well, mm-hmm. right?
So one area we haven't covered is herbs. That's another whole area that you can do containers.
And those you can do in the shade as well. Yeah.
Can you even keep those like inside all year if you don't have outdoor
space? You still need a grow light for that.
Because they
still need some of the natural.
Well, you need natural light and day length.
But yeah, you can do that.
Herbs
and actually,
parsley
is something that will bolt as well, because I've had it bolt on me a few times.
Yes.
Doesn't like the heat.
But the easy ones, what? Parsley, chives.
Chives are awesome.
As a starter one, you will just go crazy with chives.
Why do mine suck right now then?
I don't do anything to mine and they just keep growing. It's just.
And what about herbs like sage and thyme and all those?
Thyme needs more sun.
It needs more sun.
And they don't water them.
Yeah.
Because they're a dry climate.
But the basil I grew out in the front in the shade, it's great.
If you like mojitos, you could plant mint. Just make sure it's in a container.
Because
it'll take over.
Oh, it goes everywhere.
And Pim's.
Another one.
But there's plenty of flowering plant, like flowers. That grow in the shade, and less so with vegetables.
Vegetables
seems to need more sun.
So what about,
except for the herbs?
What about fruit like strawberries or raspberries or strawberries?
Raspberries I wouldn't touch as a new gardener.
But strawberries,
the everbearing, all of the garden centers are growing, are now producing what they call everbearing strawberries.
Yeah.
And you can put those in a hanging basket.
And you can
put them in a container. And you will get strawberries.
Strawberries the whole summer.
Yeah. And we did tomatoes in a hanging basket last year.
That was the first time. Really.
So last year I did it. I bought felted grow bags. So they are tall felted grow bags that they are producing now for people with small spaces and container and who live in condos and things. And Elaine and I did them. And we bought a specific kind of a seed potato. We cut them all up and we layered
fingerlings.
And we layered them all into the potato bags and followed our instructions. And both of us had this bumper crop.
Hers was better than mine, but you put fertilizer in and I didn't. And you have to stake them for sure. You need things for them to lean on, otherwise in the rain they'll just fall over. But they taste so good.
Potatoes are great.
A potato that's grown in the ground.
Yeah.
It juicy,
yeah,
unbelievably
flavor.
Good,
yeah. Uh-huh. And super easy. You don't have to do other than a little bit of staking. You don't have to do a ton of work.
The pleasure of pulling up something that you've grown, whether it's some parsley and chives or potato or something, and then you eat it it's
the best.
It makes you feel like you're a farmer.
And it probably costs twice as much. Like the salads that we've had over the years probably cost as much as a bag salad. Doesn't matter.
It's organic. It's clean. Yeah.
I also want to talk about the community. So the idea of like the community of what you get, because at some point you're going to get to know other gardeners. There's somebody who's going to be in your building. They're going to see your garden from your balcony. There's going to be somebody, a friend or somebody at the plot or wherever you end up going to. who's going to, you're going to end up meeting, and there will be this community that you will build with gardeners. Yes. And then you will start to talk to people at the garden centers, and then you'll start to talk to people at the farmers markets. And then it is a community space that everybody connects amongst, and it is a shared space, and so that everybody is welcome. And everybody has something to share, and everybody has something to learn, because nobody is a professional gardener. Everybody is always learning all the time, and everybody always has something to share. And so I think it is really a space. You're also doing something for the earth and for climate, and you are becoming involved, and you're understanding a little bit more, and it feeds into that. And so when times are difficult, and when the earth is in trouble, and at least you're acting and looking into the ground and building something and building community. And
part of the solution, really.
You're doing something hopeful.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and the other thing is, too, you're actually beginning a tune to other species other than Homo sapiens. You're actually working with a whole bunch of other organisms.
Yes. You're looking at
bigger diversity than just yourself.
Yes.
Right? Because it's all these organisms, it's all these plants, it's all these products.
But would you kill the slugs?
I was just going to say,
we have different views on pest management.
So you don't let the slugs eat.
No.
The slugs will
because
destroy.
They will destroy your garden. And snails. Snails.
The slugs around here are not an endangered species.
And they're introduced.
Okay. And they're introduced.
We're not worried about them.
Except for the banana ones you told me.
Leave them alone. Those are endangered and they're native.
Yeah.
The slugs. Okay. So leave those alone.
Pro banana slugs.
Yes, pro banana
slugs. I mean,
slugs.
if you think you're going to go out there and kill a bug, you need to know what it is first.
That's right.
Because some of those bugs, like the fast moving ones, those are probably beneficial.
Yeah.
Most of them are.
What are some of the insects that we think people will kill that they shouldn't kill? Because either they're harmless.
Most of them are harmless.
Aphids.
Aphids, no. Most flies, particularly like hoverflies, you see those little flies that kind of hover? Those are pollinators. All they do is pollinate, so they're really beneficial.
Those.
Most insects are beneficial or benign. There's very few of them that are problem ones. Yeah.
And as a gardener, I also want to put a shout out to gardening honeybee or mason bees.
Mason bees.
Because it's gardeners that do it.
Yes.
And they are so fun to watch. Like, it's like better than watching a movie. Mm-hmm. When they come in and out of their holes and they fight with each other and they make their funny little noises and they buzz right around your head. And
they don't sting.
They don't sting at all. No,
they don't sting. And they're so good for the environment. And all you need is a bunch of holes and a piece of wood. Mm-hmm. And you can have a whole little family out there.
Tons of it online, if you're interested.
How many hours of sun you get a day is important to know when you're planning to put a garden and you're picking a spot. If you get 4, 5, 6 hours a day, that's lots for growing all kinds of things. If you get less than that, like I think some parts of my garden in the back where I do flowers only get 2 hours of sun a day. But there are lots of shade flowers out there that can survive beautifully.
Mm-hmm. I was also just wondering how the community garden started in our neighborhood.
Most of the communities, or many of the communities in the Lower Mainland and Metro Van, are also starting to put in raised beds for the community. So you'll start to see those throughout the area. And oftentimes you can get into a wait list situation as people sort of waiting for those things to come. Mm-hmm. But they're becoming more and more popular just because the health benefits for gardening, and I'm not talking about growing food, but it's that idea of community and exercise and being outside and all of those things and ecology, and it's beneficial. There is actually health research around gardening and the benefits of it.
Lower blood pressure levels.
Yes, The UK has a lot of, the UK has an awful lot of resources and research behind this.
What do they call them? Those golden zones where the people live beyond 100? They're all gardeners.
Yeah.
But again, it's putting this into this bigger picture, what we talked about. Gardening is so beneficial on so many levels.
Yes. Right?
Social as well as.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all of those things.
Yeah.
It's biology, it's social, it's climate, it's community. Yeah.
It's good for your mental health.
And it's good for your own personal mental health.
When I was still
stress
working.
Relief,
when I was still working, doing shift work, nursing, I tell you, coming home and just watering my plants is such a good thing for me to kind of decompress from.
That's why I say I like to turn the sprinkler on in the back garden in the evening, because I like to sit out there and listen to it ticking. Like, it's such a relaxing sound, and it's cool, and I feel like, oh, it's cooling the house down. Whether it is or not, I don't know, but anyway, it's such a nice sensation to sit out there and read in the evening, and plus you've been to events that we've had in our gardens, and we have gatherings back there, and the neighbors come, and you know, there's so many flowers of different kind, three different gardeners with their different tastes, and you open up the gates, and it's like a it's like you wouldn't notice the difference, really.
Before we go today, Katie, we'll have to step out so you can smell the lilac.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, please.
Amazing.
This time of year.
I just have to say that when I first got here, I didn't move. I wasn't in East Hill right in the very beginning. And then we lived in East Van. And we had a balcony. And it was happened to be south-facing. But it faced an alleyway. It was an alleyway. And we had the driveway down into some basement thing. You know, and I don't know, there was a small nursery that was just up the road on Victoria, and I used to walk up, and I had a couple of people who were gardeners, and I walked up and got plants and came back, and I just sort of filled my balcony little by little and just winged it. To just sort of figured stuff out and put some flowers up there and things like that. It was beautiful. And in an alleyway in East Van, and I mean East Van, and my little balcony with all the flowers, and you could sit out there with your favorite beverage,
G&T for her.
It was just, sort of lovely. And the landlord of the small low rise always just said that he always really liked walking by and just seeing the garden. And it was just a container garden. Just a container garden. And all trial and error. It was just, and you just try, and that's all it is. And then from there, it's just grown over the years. So,
and those container pots in the fall, you can plant garlic in them. You can absolutely plant and grow garlic over the winter.
Like with the garlic, if you let it, if you leave the scape, or an onion or something, let it flower. Then you can collect the seeds, and you've done it with our neighbor Sheila has done it with flowers. Was it the zinnias?
Sheila harvests the zinnias and the cosmos and the straw plants.
Which we buy as the straw plants you buy as annuals, and usually annuals they have like a kill switch, like they're not going to grow the next year. But you can harvest the seeds. I'm going to try that.
When they turn into that puffy white, like almost like a dandelion there. They do that. And this year I'm going to grow dandelions on my, this will be another podcast.
Are you making dandelion wine?
I'm going to make microgreens. Dandelion microgreens.
Yeah.
So you just take the white puffies from the dandelion, you put them in your little container. And when they grow a little bit, you shave them off.
Yeah.
And apparently, what I read online, you can get 12 harvests from, like, one planting of seeds of microgreens.
Wow. So you can just, like, on the side of the road, get a dandelion.
When it's a white, fluffy thing, that's where the seed is. And you put that in a container in a sunny spot.
But you can harvest it, too, right? I mean, you could, like a lot of people. I mean, remember when I lived in Montreal, the Italians would go out in the yards and stuff like that. They'd harvest all the dandelions.
The greens, the roots, and the flowers. I mean, you can eat them all.
You make salad.
I'm just going to use the microgreens. I don't know about the rest of the stuff.
You can make wine.
Yes, you can make wine.
I did get the recipe for the dandelion wine. I would like to try that.
And
for
I think
some
actually
party in the neighborhood one day.
The cities and things like that have started to curb the whole idea of cutting dandelions. And I mean, nobody treats their lawns, should be treating their lawns
anymore. They
shouldn't
be treating their lawns.
So, but I mean, the whole idea of dandelions and cutting is no, because you can actually harvest them.
Green lawn should just be outlawed.
Yeah. And the other thing about dandelions and things like that is because it's pollinators. So it's an early flower for early pollinators that are out there. And so you want to have flowers and things like that that are out there for early pollinators.
All right, we're almost at the end of the session. Hi, you were listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Katie, on Gnome City. And yeah, we've just been learning about the beauties of gardening, from the basics of it to the incredible community impact. So yeah, I'm going to end it off with a final question to them about what they love about their garden. And then after that, you'll get to listen to the amazing Connor on his amazing show, Department Uno, all about just the coolest music ever. So definitely enjoy that. But yeah, I just felt so inspired talking to my neighbors about this. And I just wanted to say thank you to all of you, to Kate and Elaine and Dave and Chris and just everyone in my neighborhood for inviting me into this very just accepting and amazing community. So I encourage you guys, go out there, talk to your neighbors, start a garden, and yeah, enjoy. Have a good week.
No question for you guys, just to end it off, is what's your favorite thing that you get from your garden every year?
My neighbors.
That's so nice.
Seriously,
I better say something just as good.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say that's the community. It's community. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's just hanging out with talking to my friends.
Yeah.
Hanging out, looking at each other's stuff. I love.
Yes.
Looking at their stuff. I love showing. Oh, but there's a hummingbird. Sorry.
Just went.
Squirrel.
There was a hummingbird for the radio listeners.
Yeah.
What color was it?
That would have been an Anna's hummingbird.
Anna's, yeah,
I don't think the Rufus aren't. We only have two here. It's the Anna's and the Rufus. And I don't think they're back yet.
No,
I haven't seen any. No. So. But yeah, and I just love, and I just go out, I don't know about you guys, I just go out and look at my plants. I'm not just squishing aphids. I just go
But
out.
You also just like the... Just the view. And
oh, my God.
And, yeah, because you get up every morning, you have your breakfast, and you sit outside and you just
And I just stare at my garden.
Yeah.
I mean,
and also the harvest. I mean, that's...
The harvest is great. Right.
Definitely.
Most of the time. Sometimes it's like,
unless it's potatoes,
fuck?
Of course. Oops.
For me, it's definitely sharing the food I grow, sharing it with people. Mm-hmm. I love doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if I do... fermented into something, I share that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. Yeah. I think it is just, it really is that sort of, it can be really, if when you're, like when, as you're in your, when you're younger and you're doing everything, it can be really hard to sort of make everything fit it into your day. You've got a busy day and you're trying to water, you're trying to get everything done and all those sorts of things. And then there are some moments when you just sort of walk out and it can be very, very peaceful and restorative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's quite spectacular. Mm-hmm. And but the community, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the community is fantastic.
Yeah.
Sharing things, looking at people's stuff, you know, talking about how what worked with them, what didn't work, what worked with you, those sorts of things, and sharing resources. I mean, gardeners are one to share a resource.
Yeah. They're definitely communicators.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
For me, it's the biology. I love just the diversity, right?
Really? Are you sure about that?
I love all the bugs and plants and interactions and stuff. It's just the complexity of all that life and all the things that it does.
Yeah.
To me, it's just... so fascinating. You have all these interactions and all these interconnections, and they're all happening continuously at different levels, and just to see it all happen in front of you every day. Right?
Is gardening important in this world of like high rises and parking lots?
Absolutely, more than ever.
We're so disconnected
from nature
in so many ways. I mean, there is definitely this small core group that's trying to change that, that has been for many years. But you're just so disconnected.
And all the studies you were saying, right?
Yeah.
I've said, you know, being connected with other organisms, being connected to the green world, being connected to just that connection of life in general, is then it definitely beneficial.
Well,
because our ancestors lived it every single day.
Yeah.
And now we live in these isolated communities, in these buildings and these blocks and stuff, which is divorced.
Just start the whole evening off with flowers or why we are who we are today?
It will form you.
Yeah.
When are you going to plant your garden?
Yeah, I was just going to say the same
this Monday.
Thing.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm going to Garden Works this
morning. Does your mother say it? Ow! Ow! I hate it!
Good afternoon there, Radioland. Oh my goodness, we are loud, live and direct from the top of Burnaby Mountain right here, CJSF 90.1 FM, and this is Department Uno every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., the weekly program from the music department where we feature the latest and greatest from local artists, Canadian artists, international artists, all genres, all styles, and we have